invade my space, and I've your, somebody help me say, invade
my space,
and I've your way. Our lives, we offer them as a living sacrifice this morning. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Have your way.
Jesus, tell your neighbor, say, stronger than your enemy. Pastor said on Friday, stronger than the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Friday was a powerful one. Pastor gave us principles. Principles that he said when they are broken, those are the things that give the enemy a chance to come and penetrate our life. It was a great time in the presence of God. And I know that the word of God is coming afresh. It's coming afresh to touch us, to bless us this morning. And I believe it's going to be a great time in His presence in the name of Jesus. So it's another time for the word of God. And I believe that you and I, we are ready to receive the word of God this morning. And if you are in the same spirit with me, ready to receive the word of God, come on, rise on your feet with me and put your hands together as I welcome our pastor, Pastor John Joseph, as a bless us this morning.
Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. You are the mighty God, the great I am. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Oh, there is no one else like you.
You are great.
There is no one else like you. For you are great.
For you are great. You're the miracle so great. There is no one else like you.
There is no one else like you. Thank you. We thank you, Father. We give you praise. We are excited this morning because the devil cannot steal our joy. Yes. Hallelujah. We thank you for the life of Christ that is in us. We thank you for victory over devils. We thank you because we are seated in high places with Christ Jesus. Far above principalities. Far above powers. Far above might, far above all the works of the enemy, the devil is under our feet. Hallelujah. We give you praise because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank you because you are here with us. So there is no room for the devil in our midst. For light shineth in darkness, and darkness cannot overpower it. Thank you for your light that is shining in this place. Thank you for your light that is shining on our lives. Thank you because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty, there is power, there is authority, there is dominion. And I thank you because you will glorify your name in our midst today. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for the miracles. We have come, Lord, fill us in a new way. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Shout amen, somebody. Come on, put those wonderful hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. You may please sit down on top of your enemies. Glory be to God. Oh, I said glory be to God. Are you excited to be in church this morning? Is it a wonderful thing to be in church this morning? Yes, sir. All right, brother Peter, Mr. Kemi, please, can you occupy this? Yes, like that. Like I've always said, it's always important that the front rows are... Yes, thank you. Fantastic, eh? All right. Good, good. All right. We thank the Lord for yet another time in his presence. Stronger than the enemy started on Friday. And how many of you already been blessed? Now get ready because you are receiving a miracle today. What you don't expect, you will not have. The expectation of the just shall not be cut short. So let me say this to you. By the time the second service will be over, you will be dancing home with mega testimonies. Oh, mega testimonies. How many of you are expecting mega testimonies today? Say with me, I am expecting my own mega testimonies. Oh, I cannot hear you say, I am expecting my own mega testimonies. Glory be to God. So, on Friday, we dived into stronger than the enemy. And I define the word stronger means to be with more power, more might, more authority than the other person. So to be with more. So the moment you have more, you are stronger. More might, more strength, more power, more authority. Even more wisdom makes you stronger than your enemies. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, this morning we are going to actually now, let me define the word stronger properly for you so that you know what it means to be strong. To be strong means involving or possessing physical or mental strength. Involving or possessing physical or mental strength. Involving or possessing physical or mental strength. So, in other words, when we are talking about one of the definitions of being strong is that physically, mentally, the person possesses strength. Now, strength now, so when you now say stronger then means possessing more physical or mental strength than the others or than other with respect to whatever you are comparing it to. In other words, it means more beyond the ordinary, beyond the normal, physically. So if I say I am stronger than this iron, for instance, it means any time you use stronger, you are comparing strength. I think that's the way I should put it for you to break it down. The moment stronger means, it means that you are now benchmarking two things. So you are saying one is higher than the other. One is higher than the other. So I cannot just say stronger without comparing it to something. The moment I use the word stronger, I am comparing it in relation to a particular thing. That in relation, when I bring this thing to me, whatever strength that this may have, I have more. So if I say I'm stronger than this iron, it means that whatever this iron may pull up, it will never be more than what I have. Amen. Are you understanding that now? Now, the enemy. Now, the reason why we use the enemy and not just enemies is because the root of all evil is of the devil. Yes, you have witches, you have wizard, you have occultic power, but they all derive their authority from the devil. Just as there are more than 300,000 policemen in Nigeria today, but they all derive their authority from the IG. So in a state, for instance, if you are going to sue a policeman in a state, you will not say, I am suing you. You will first sue the commissioner of police, even though he knows nothing about that case. Then when you sue the commissioner of police, then you now also sue the person under the commissioner of police. So that is why you see that the commissioner of police of the state will take responsibility for whatever any of his men does in that state. Now, above the commissioner is the inspector general. The inspector general will also take responsibility for whatever happens to all his men. So, depending on the nature of the case, the inspector general of police can be sued. The commissioner can be sued. Then you now go to the officer, depending on whatever happens. All of them derive their authority. So, when a policeman is coming to arrest, he will not say, oh, I'm just arresting you because I am me. But he knows that he's arresting you in the name of the Inspector General of Police. So if you decide that you see a policeman and you harass him, you slap him, you molest him, actually, it's not that policeman that will deal with you. Whatever he can do with you is small. But the forces that he represents will be the one to handle the case. That's how come when the other policemen were killed by the military men when they were on assignment, It was not their family that went to go and fight. It was the Inspector General of Police that began to take up that matter. Because even though he was not the one that went on that errand, everything they were doing, they derived their authority from who? The Inspector General of Police. So the same thing when you want to understand spiritual warfare, that when I am contending with spiritual warfare, I am actually contending with the devil. So even though, for instance, I know that this woman is the one that is behind the molestation in my house, but if I want to go against her, I bind every foul spirit operating in her. You devil, get out of that place. And whatever agent the devil is using at that moment will obey. Because, of course, in battle, when you are able to defeat the king, you have defeated every other subject. You don't understand? That's one of the principles of war. That's why you see that even though a kingdom may have 1 million soldiers, the moment the enemy kills their king, they've defeated all the other people. So even though they are still carrying their sword, they still have their guns. Once they defeat their king, they are defeated. That is why every nation declares, put so much asset to protect their president. You see them protecting the president, the governor, they call them politically exposed people. Governors, vice president, senators, they are always, you see them be protected. Why? Because when you attack them, you have attacked everybody. This you must understand about spiritual warfare. So when we are so stronger than the enemy, it then means that when you put the devil side by side with a believer, any child of God is as much strength than the devil any day, any time. Why? Because as for the devil is there, I derive my own power from the maker of all heaven and earth, the almighty God, the one who resides on me. That's why I said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah, somebody. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Now we are going deeper into stronger than the enemy. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Watch it. And as profess a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Then the word will say, whereunto thou art also called. Now, so it simply means that when we give our life to Jesus, the essence of being born again is not just to avoid hell. Even though that has been the central theme of most believers. Oh, say born again to avoid hell. Born again to avoid hell. So you see, even though they are living in this world, they are living in hell in this world. You will not, when you see some Christians, you don't desire to be a Christian. Because everything about them is just not good enough. Do you know why? Because these are people that think that Jesus only died to save us from our sin. But let me say this to you. That's not what he did alone. In fact, if you want to summarize what Jesus did on the cross in one word, it's not to say Jesus died for my sins. Because if you use that, you have only spoken about, let me just say, about even like 20-30%. Or let's be modest, 50%. 50% to be modest. But if you are ever, as a Christian, to use one word to describe what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, you use the word, he died to give me eternal life. He died to and rose again that I might have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. This is how to describe it. If you don't understand this, you have missed the essence of the gospel. He died and rose again. Why? Why did he die and rose again? Say with me, that I might have what? That I might have what? Oh, are you here? That I might have what? I know why you are not excited. Do you know why you are not excited? Because you don't really know the meaning of what I just said. You know, you don't know the deep meaning. So that's why we are in church, to learn. If actually you know the deep meaning, when I said eternal life, you will be jumping and screaming and shouting. So I don't blame you, really. It's that when somebody, you know, sometimes I've forgotten whether it was me or someone that said it, that, no, it was actually, I was the one. One day I gave somebody a tie. And when I give the tie to the fellow, then the next thing is that the person did not wear the tie. Then either the person gave it out or whatever, but they didn't wear the tie. So I called the young man. I said, you don't have a tie. I'll give you the tie. And I said, the tie I've given you, do you know how much they sell it? They sell that tie in dollars. There are ties that you will use and use and use, can never spoil. I have ties that I have that if you see them today, maybe some one of these ties also, that you think I just bought them. Why? Because they are quality ties. And some of them I've used them for 10 years, but you never know. No matter what you do to it, it will not get dirty. It will not get wrinkled. So I told the person, I said, do you know how much I bought that tie? And he said, I don't know. I said, that's why you just threw it away. That's how actually what happens. When people don't know the value of something, they don't treat it well. When they don't know the value of something, they malhandled it. Somebody gave me a camera, a CCTV camera. No, I bought it. The person was selling a cheap price. So I called. I thought it was just like the normal regular CCTV camera. So I called someone to come and install the CCTV camera. When the person saw the CCTV camera, I've used about two, these are two different professionals. They could not configure this particular CCTV camera. It's still with me. So they took it to go and find out what. I just left it somewhere. I didn't bother. I just dropped it somewhere. So when the person went to the market, he says, "Sir, this CCTV camera you have is not a domestic CCTV camera. This one is a high-level security camera. This one can see what they do. This one for is to capture something from far distance and bring it near. So." For this one to work, you need like three-story building, four-story building. And from that high height, it will look down and capture everything at the go. So this is what they use in embassy and all those other high-level players. I said, hey! So I went online to go and check the name of my CCTV camera. I know the truth. It was made by Schneider, a German company. And it was very expensive. But you see, so as I was carrying the thing around, just to it, I didn't know that what I have, was a high-level equipment. The same thing too. Because most believers have not been taught and do not understand what Jesus did on the cross and the essence of eternal life. Two words, eternal, then life. You see that they still move around as though they are helpless. They move around as though nothing has happened. The only thing they celebrate on Easter, when we celebrate, is that Jesus died and rose again. But for what? For my sins. For my sins. For my sins. But I've come to tell you again, he died to give us what? Eternal life. Oh, come on, make some noise to the Lord. Because in celebrating it, you will understand it better. He died to give us what? Eternal life. Now, have you heard when people begin to say, eternal, eternal life, eternal, eternal life. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. I want to live eternal. Is that not how they sing it? Is that not how it sang? God save my soul. Oh, my Savior. Oh, my Savior. Then there's another song we sing. There is one that said that, oh, as it was in the days of Elijah, it's like, Give me the old time religion. Give me the old time religion. Give me the old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me the old time religion. Do you know why they are singing that song? Because they don't know what Jesus did on the cross. You are saying, I want to. But when you receive Jesus, you are already living in eternal life. When you receive Jesus, look at it, he said it there. Lay hold on eternal life, wherein thou art also called, and have professed, and have confessed. So profess means to confess before many witnesses. Are you with me? So eternal word there is the word everlasting. So you hear another version using the word everlasting life. Another translator will call it eternal life. Like in John 3:16, for God so loved the world and gave his only God that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Eternal life. The Greek word is aionios, which means the life without beginning. Life without ending. Not having beginning, not having ending. Indestructible. That is what it means. Indestructible life. Indestructible life. Understand this. If you can get what we are sharing this today, there is no sickness that will leave this service with you. I said there is no sickness that will leave this service with you. If you will understand what I am teaching, and even before I have finished preaching, every sickness will have left your body. Because you see, the answer to darkness is light. When light is turned on, darkness disappears. Even when there is light, darkness and light cannot stay in the same place. Either one. But today, every darkness is giving way to light. In the name of Jesus. Can I have an amen, somebody? So eternal life, the indestructible, life without beginning and end, is eternal. There is aionios. But life, the word life there is Zoe. Say with me, Zoe. Zoe, Zoe, in the Greek pronunciation is Z-O-A-Y, Zoe, Zoe, are you there? The Zoe life. What is Zoe? So we've seen lay hold of eternal life, indestructible life. What is Zoe? Now, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary, we have Strong's Concordance, we have Vine's Concordance. Dr. Vine's was able to show us deeper what Zoe is. Said, Zoe, he said, is of life as a principle. He says, Zoe is of life as a principle. Life in the absolute sense. Life as a principle. Life in the absolute sense. Life as God has it. Life as God has it. Kevin, do you have your pen? You don't have a pen? So go and get one. All right? And get a note. Never come to church without writing. Especially those of you who are workers in church. It's not allowed. Zoe. So it's what again? Of life as what? A principle. Life in the absolute sense. Life as God has it. Now, another one. It means that which the Father has in himself. The life that God has in himself, which he gave to the Son to have in himself. That is Zoe. The life that God has in himself. Mumbawina, do you understand it now? The life that God has in itself, that he gave Jesus to have in himself. That is what? Zoe. So there are different types of life, as you may want to put it. But the one we are talking about is the life of God. Life as God have it in himself. And that life that he gave Jesus. So when the Bible is saying in 1 Timothy 6:12, to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, lay hold on the type of life as God has it in himself. Lay hold of the life God has in himself. Lay hold of the life God has in himself. This is why Jesus died. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Now let's look at the scripture of John chapter 5. Let's see the life that God has in himself. John chapter 5 verse 26. For as the Father hath life. Who created God? Maybe somebody have ever asked you that. Who was the mother of God? Who was God's in-law? Where did God start from? That's why he's God. Eternal God. He has no beginning. He was not created. He's the only self-existence God. Every other God were created by man. The self-existing God. The one who created and was never created. Is the maker of all things. The one who was and is to come. That's why the Bible calls him the Alpha and the Omega. Says, for as the Father had life in himself, so had he given to the Son. So you can see Zoe can be given. Zoe can be given. So had he given to the Son. And when I say something can be given, it also means it can be received. Get it right? If something can be given, it means what? It can be received or also rejected. It's a matter of choice. If I say I want to give you 500 naira, it's either, if you want it, what will you do? You receive it. And if you don't want it, what will you do? You say, you reject it. So eternal life is a choice. You may be in church and not have eternal life. You may not have Zoe. Because what you have may just be religion. What you have may just be a form of godliness. It's amazing that when most of us receive Christ, we receive Christ, the forgiver of our sin, not Christ, the one who imparts eternal life to us. So most Christians know Christ, have received Christ, the one who takes away sin. And do you know why? Because of the fear of hell. Because of the fear of hell. But you know, you don't have to die to experience hell. Some are experiencing hell in this world. When God gave the Son, Jesus, eternal life, do you hear that Jesus was admitted in the hospital? No, God actually showed us what was possible in Christ Jesus. Do you hear that people gathered money for Jesus to go and do kidney transplant? Oh, tell me. Oh, they went to go and visit Jesus because he has headache. Oh, they went to go and visit Jesus because he had malaria. Brother Solomon, they went to go and visit Jesus and they were buying Milo and cornflakes for him because Jesus was sick and he could not attend service. Was that the case? But he lived a life above sickness. A life above poverty. A life above the influence of this world. A life above sin. Because he received Zoe. You are receiving Zoe today. By the time this teaching is finished, oh, you'll be, see, the Zoe life will be a daily occurrence in your own life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So Jesus said, as the Father had life in himself, so had he given the Son to have life in himself. Now let's look at Jesus also. 1 John chapter 1 verse 12 says, First John chapter 1 verse 2. For the life was manifested. This is now the disciples talking now. And we have seen it. And bear witness. and shew unto you that eternal life which was in the Father and was manifested unto us. Was the life that was in the Father but was manifested unto us. So we have seen it. We saw it with our eyes. That it's possible to be in this world, to have flesh and blood, but you are living a superhuman life. Oh, I'm a superhuman. You know, this is where we now need to understand. Give me Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18. The Bible says, having their understanding darkened. Ephesians 4 18. But speak Ephesians 4 18. And having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. When was this? This was what happened when man fell. So the whole thing that the devil targeted was not about the fruit. We are going to see later on. The whole thing in the Garden of Eden was the devil came to separate man from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Adam and Eve, they could not see that, oh, we have something more than the devil has. So they were separated from the life of God. So when Jesus came, he came to restore that life back to us. But you know, I don't want to teach you something that will not be founded in the Bible. Because this is too deep for you not to have scriptural reference for it. And once you get it, my prayer today, I pray for you that this will not be difficult for you to understand. I pray for you that God will grant you the spirit of understanding as we go on this journey in the name of Jesus. That it will be clear to you. You will understand it better in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to reduce the number of people that are in the technical team. Alright, only those who are working, the less of you can come out. Let's go on. Now when Jesus died and rose again, the whole essence of Christianity, like I said to us, is for us to partake of Zoe. John chapter 3 verse 14. John chapter 3 from verse 14. John 3 from verse 14. Are you there? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look at it. That whosoever believeth. The word believeth means whosoever think to be true. The Greek word here means whosoever think it to be true. Whosoever is persuaded. Whosoever is convinced about this. So in other words, if only you will think that what I'm saying now is true and you receive it. If only you are convinced about what I'm saying. If only you are convicted in your heart about the reality of Zoe. Whosoever, regardless of who you are, whosoever believe, whosoever think it to be true, whosoever is convinced about it, whosoever is convicted in his heart about it, that's what believe here means. Believe in him should not perish. The word perish here means to destroy, render useless, to be lost, to kill. Whosoever think it to be true, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. In other words, to destroy. What's the other word again? To lose. To be lost. To be lost. To kill. To render useless. So the word perish here means to be lost. To kill. To be destroyed. To render useless. Remember John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to what? To destroy. Follow me now. Threefold mission of the devil, like I told you on Friday, is to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Now, John 3:15 said, thou whosoever believeth should not perish. In other words, should not to be destroyed, will not be lost, will not be rendered useless. We're not, what's the other one again? To kill. So it means, what he's saying here means that
Whosoever believes will live above the devil's harassments. In other words, anyone that believe in, whosoever believe in Christ, when he says should not perish, means that everything the devil knows how to do, this one will not be a victim of it anymore. You know what he's telling you? That you are stronger than the devil if only you will believe in Jesus. Say, you will not be lost. And I will tell you where that word lost came from. I will show you, there was a missing person in the Bible. The first person that was lost in the Bible. And they were looking for the person. Do you know the person? Do you know the first lost person in the Bible? Or do you know that there was a missing person in the Bible? And guess who was also looking for the person himself? God was the one even was looking for the person. And he began to look. And he declared the person missing. There's a scripture that shows God was looking for someone. And the person was missing. The first missing person in the Bible. In the world. And I'll call it in the world. All the people that are lost today. It was after this. That God was looking. I'm going to show you there. But Jesus. Encoded, said, he used the word perish here. Not to be lost. Not to kill. To be lost, to kill. To be destroyed, to be rendered useless. Today, whatever has rendered your life useless is coming to an end today. Yeah. Every sickness, every disappointment, every shame, every struggle that has made your life useless is coming to an end today. Yeah. Whatever wants to make the life of your children useless, make your business useless, make your marriage useless, destroy it, kill it, cause it to be missing, today an end comes to it in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Believers should not perish, but have what? Have what? Zoe. Have Zoe. Have Zoe. In other words, Zoe is the answer to all of the devil's antics, tactics, and works. Zoe is what will frustrate the devil. That is why the devil does not want any Christian to know about the reality of Zoe. That is why what most Christians celebrate is that Jesus died for my sins. He died for my sins. Not that he died to give me eternal life. Do you realize that we don't say that often? We only say he died for my sins. He died for my sins. But from today, don't just say he died for my sins. Use the word that was used in the Bible. Say he died to give me what? Eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. Satan cannot kill me. I cannot be destroyed. I cannot be useless. I cannot be lost. I have eternal life. Say it, I have eternal life. I cannot be killed. I cannot be destroyed. I cannot be lost. I cannot be useless. I have eternal life. Hallelujah. I have it. I have it. I have it. How did you get it? When I get Jesus. Whosoever believeth. Now verse 16. Look at it again. This is the scripture we quote. And we have quoted and we have lost the meaning sometime of it. Verse 16. For God so loved the world. You know, when you love someone, you give gift to the person. When you love someone, one of the ways you express your love for someone is that you give gift to the person. To show you love the person. When you love your children, you buy stuff for them. When you love your wife, you buy stuff for them. When you love, you give gifts. Then gift exchange hand because of love. When God loved us, God looked at what can I do to show that I love them? How best can I express my love? Like I used to tell someone, if someone loves you, the person will not sleep with you before marriage. Yeah. If someone loves you, the person will do everything to make sure, yes, you are preserved until that marriage day. Because Bible says marriage is honorable, but with the bed undefiled. In other words, God does not want anyone to marry with your bed defiled. The person has been sleeping with you now. The only thing is that it now calls your husband, but it's the same sleeping. No. But that marriage is dishonorable.
and never use your gift as a weapon to sleep with anyone. I just need to say that. In other words, oh, because I've been buying suit for Michael, or I've been buying shoe for Peter, I've been buying wristwatch for Emmanuel, or I've bought something for Deborah, then I look at Deborah and say, you know what, baby, come and visit me in my house. After all, your hair, I bought it. Your ring, I bought it. That red thing on your chest, I bought it, you know. And because of that, so Deborah too feels I owe him. He's been nice to me. So I need to repay him back. You don't, if you want to repay, if somebody says he loves you, then you want to repay him by buying Tom-Tom. Buy him what? Tom-Tom said, to prove to you I love you. But when God wanted to show that he loved us, what did he do? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He used the word again. Whosoever. All you need to do is put your name there. Put James there. Put Paul there. Put Samson there. Put Peter there. Put Mary there. Put Emmanuel there. Put your name there. Whosoever thinking to be true is convinced about it. Who is convicted about this thing. Whosoever just think that this thing is true will not again do what? Perish. You don't know what that... They kept using the word perish because that is what the devil knows how to do. To kill. To make people useless. You know, the other time, somebody showed me a madman in this area. And the madman, he comes to come and pack some of the stuffs in the church. He's a young guy, FT. And the man, Pastor Stanley told me the other time, he said, sir, I heard something today about this man. So what did he say? Do you know that this man was a DPO? He was a DPO of a police station. And, he ran mad and is speaking things all around. I said, what? Say yes. This man was a proper police officer. Even though he was a DPO that other people were reporting, divisional police officer. And he is there, was doing his work. But today, he's living on the street, living on the road, eating on the floor. That is what the devil wants for everybody. Left for the devil, he wants to take a good life and makes it useless. Left for the devil, he wants to take a promising young man and make him into a drug addict. Left for the devil, he wants to take a promising young girl and make her useless. Left for the devil, he wants your life not to amount to anything. But in the name of him who died and rose again, by the impartation of Zoe, you are going to amount to somebody in life. You will never be useless. You will never be useless. You will never be useless. You will fulfill your destiny. You will be great in the name of Jesus. Say with me, I refuse to be useless. Hey! Whosoever believe should not perish, but have what? Have what? Everlasting life. Have Zoe. As Zoe, as Zoe, whosoever believe. Now, do you believe? Do you believe? Then you are Zoe. Do you believe? Then you are Zoe. You, what you have in you is the life of God. Hallelujah. Are you getting it now? Good. I love this one. John chapter 6, verse 47. John 6, 47. Again, you see the same word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, what happens to him? Somebody done. He that believeth on me, what does he have? What does he have? What does he have? He has Zoe, he has everlasting. Jesus said it. And anytime you see the word verily, verily, it means pause. Think about it. Meditate on it. It means reflect on it. It means I am very serious now. You know, sometimes you tell somebody that, oh, do this. And the person is not listening. But you pause and say, I am serious. I'm not joking. Anytime you see the word verily, verily. You know, sometimes it says, verily I say unto you. But when he makes it double, he says to you, don't take this one for granted. He said, of a truth. It's like saying, amen, amen. It's like saying, oh, of a truth. It's like saying, I bet you. In fact, let me say, in our local way, it's like saying, I swear to God. You know when somebody say, I swear to God, you should pause and think about what the person wants to say. Or you don't understand what I mean? And when somebody says something, it's not good to swear to God, it's not good to use such words. But I'm just trying to say something to you that when someone wants to convince you about something, they evoke a higher authority, look for something to let you know that this thing, you can take it to market. So if I say to you that if I'm giving you this, and I now say that I, before God that I stand, this thing is true. It means that I'm telling you, put all your life on it. Put all your confidence on it. In fact, another word for believers to put your confidence in. To put your trust in it. Put your trust in it. So Jesus said, listen, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, he has. What does he have? What does he have? Say with me, I have everlasting life. Hallelujah. I have it. I have it. Now, this is where we know some of them, I have it. I have it. Because you look at yourself like, this thing is too good to be true. It's too good to be true. What pastor is saying, if truly I have everlasting life, how is my life like this? If truly I have everlasting life, why is it I'm struggling in life? If truly I have everlasting life, why is it I'm struggling to eat every day? Why is it that I am always sick, 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 sick? So this thing, no, listen to me. You have it. Now, I shared with you on Friday, if you don't forget, that there is difference between faith and what? Faithfulness. There is difference between faith and faithfulness. Faithfulness means that you are doing all that God required of you. So you may be faithful, but not have faith. So you go to church, you give your tithe. You know, somebody say, you know, Lord, and I was paying my tithe. I was giving my tithe. I gave my tithe. I gave my offering. Why? Why did it happen to me? And somebody, the devil comes to say, Shemi, I've been telling you. All this church. You see what it done happened to you? They are just robbing you. They are just collecting your money. Say, it's true. It's true. I'm not telling you. It's true. I'm not telling you. It's true. Oh God. I say, No. I want you to know the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Not from the devil. Not from the devil. Most of us have not learned to walk in faith. Even though we have been faithful. And I share with you that, you see, there are three fundamental principles that governs our walk with God. They are the principle of sowing and reaping. The law of the harvest. They are the law of faith. The law of faith. The just shall live by faith. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. And the law of what? He shall have whatsoever he saith. No evil can ever carry any Christian away if that Christian is not violating any of these three laws. If you are not violating either anything, tell me whatever, if you tell me what your problem is, and we will trace it to either of these three laws. We will see that most problems in the life of the Christian enter because they violate either of these three laws or all of them. The law of the harvest, sowing and reaping. The law of faith, where we are not walking in faith, but without faith, no man can be pleasing to God. And the law of words. You know, when we went for that crusade the other time, I saw a woman, the child did something, the baby was born, and she just said it in Yoruba, in what did she say? She said, you this useless child, a wicked child and a useless child. And I stopped, I said, ma, over what? Say, I've been trying to hold her and she just fell. And I say, so now you are now saying that because of this thing I've said, you are declaring over your child
that your child will be useless. Your child will not make it. Your child is wicked and useless. So tomorrow that guy, that boy grows up and is giving problem to the parents. That guy grows up and is going around drinking anywhere. And the mother begins to go from one pastor to the other. One prophet, pray for my child, pray for my child, pray for my child. But not knowing, she's only reaping from the words she has sown. Most of you today are reaping from the words you sowed yesterday. When was the last time you spoke over your finances? When was the last time you said to yourself, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm never a failure. When was the last time you looked at yourself in the mirror and said, I am handsome, I'm beautiful. I am going to make it in life. I will not struggle in vain. Oh, this year is going to be a great year for me. This week I am entering into, I'm going to receive blessing. I will be a blessing. And every week you just wake up, Father, thank you for today. In fact, you live one day at a time. Until you wake up in the morning, you don't see anything. And when you even wake up, you know, it is when something happens, you just start calling, Jesus! Jesus! But you should have called that Jesus long before that evil happened. Are you with me? Now, do you know that the Zoe life was so important that that was what the devil went after in the Garden of Eden? All when you read the story in the Garden of Eden, what the devil went after is to make man to let go, forfeit the Zoe life. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Let me quickly. Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to shock you with something. So follow me. And the Lord God took the man and put him, verse 15 now, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, let's start from verse 9. Let's start from 2 verse 9 first. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. The first tree is what? The first tree is what? You see, there were plenty of trees, but the Bible now emphasizes on two most important trees in that garden. Always remember, there are two major trees in that garden. The first was the Zoe tree, the tree of life. And the second is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two trees in the garden. Two trees in the middle of the garden. The first is what? Oh, follow me when I ask, please. The first one is what? And the second one is what? Knowledge of good and evil. These are two different trees. But do you know one thing? I want to shock you. God never said man should not eat of the tree of life, because it was meant for man to eat of it. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree, look at it, of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17 then says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The word surely die means that you will forfeit this life. You will be alienated. Ephesians 4:18. Say, the day you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you are going to give up the life God has given to you. That's what Ephesians 4:18 said, that alienated from the life. So you can see that even in the garden, God did not see, God said, eat of every tree, including the tree of life. The tree of life means the tree of maintenance. If you check the Hebrew word, it means to sustain, to maintain. In other words, God wants man to be ever young. From the day he created man, man was not to be old and die. God wants him to be healthy. So he put a tree in the middle where he can see that anytime he just goes there, in case you want life, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. So in the garden, even though God has given man life, God still created another tree called the tree of life, that man may have life abundantly. Oh, did you get that? Did you get that? So he has the life already. But to let you know how God placed high price on man's health, on man's well-being, even though man was never sick, even though he had no malaria, even though he had nothing, no problem, God still went ahead and put another tree in that garden, that you have my life, but in case you feel that that's not enough, all you need, go and keep eating, go and keep eating, and you will be sustained, and you will be maintained, and you will remain healthy all your life. You will never lack anything. God gave man access to the tree of life. But he told him, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you should not eat it. Why? He said, in the day you eat of this tree, fruit, you will die. That was why when God, in Genesis chapter 3, after God judged them, the first thing God did was that he put an angel to guard the tree of life. He said, they cannot eat of this tree anymore. He said, lest man come and eat of this tree of life. He said, now that they are fallen, now that they have sinned. So he put an angel. That's why God drove them. Do you know that it was because of the tree of life God drove them out of that garden? Yes. The reason why God moved them out of the garden of Eden was not because of their sin alone, but because God did not want them to ever have access to the tree of life. Do you know why? If man had eaten of the tree of life after he disobeyed God, man would have remained a sinner all his life. Jesus would not have come and died for us. So God, even though man had fallen, was still giving room for man to become a better person. Said, no, don't let him eat of this. In this fallen state, but Jesus became the tree of life for us. Oh, he became the tree of life for us. He became the tree of life for us. And today he gave you and I. He said, that they might have life, and I am come. John chapter 10 verse 10. This is why I said that the thief cometh not. He's now referring to the Garden of Eden.